Welcome to the MPC Podcast. I am Tim W. Gill, pastor of Medora Pentecostal Church, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us today. Here at MPC, we are committed to bringing hope and building lives. One way we do that is through this podcast. Thank you for listening, for sharing and reviewing what we do here. It is our desire to connect with you, and you can find us on Facebook, or you can find us at our website, medorachurch.com. It is our prayer that today's message inspires you, encourages you, and that the kingdom of God is advanced in your life. Let's get right to the word of the Lord today.
Hi. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We're going to be going to our fourth lesson that we have in prayer. But I want you to know, you and I may be powerless about some things in our world, powerless about situations in our own life, but we are not helpless. We're not helpless. Because there is an answer that you can have through prayer. Our God is a prayer-answering God. And instead of wringing our hands over things that we have no control over, no power over, let's go to the one who does, who can change it, who can change it in a moment. Praise be to God. That's how powerful your prayer can be. Amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about prayer and faith partnership. Prayer and faith partnership. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. What things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. There's a lot of people today that look at this passage, commentators that look at this passage, and they say, this is hyperbole. This is exaggeration. He's exaggerating a point. I'm telling you what, this is not hyperbole. This is truth. This is truth. So tonight I want to talk to you about the prayer and faith partnership. Lord, we love you today. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We truly want to see your glory. Help us, God, in this study to dig into the things, Lord Jesus, that will quicken our life to prayer, Lord Jesus, and trust that you are a prayer-answering God. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Prayer and faith partnership. You know, there's all kinds of faith in the world today, all kinds of belief. Because it is our assumptions and our beliefs that shape our thinking and ultimately determine our life. We all live what we live because we believe what we believe. Not what we say we believe, but what we live is what we believe. Can you say amen? Amen. Nothing moves people to action like what they believe and what their beliefs are. Why do you think in this political climate that we are in, that there's so much negative ads, so many stories being told on their opponent? Doesn't society, haven't we heard over and over for years and years and years, we do not like negative ads? Have you heard that? Oh, we don't like them. But they keep doing it because they're trying to change somebody's belief. Belief. Everyone has some kind of faith. It motivates our action. Our thoughts of faith motivate our action. people have attempted some of the most daring and remarkable and perhaps silly, crazy things because of what they believed. Because of what they believed. Sadly, there are those that have followed the path of the Jim Jones, that an entire group of people drank Kool-Aid literally, and it killed them because of their belief. It wasn't too long ago that we had people that were found dead in their beds because they believed they were going to go to the mothership. They believed that. There are those that believe certain things, but they act on what they believe. Every day, people act out their belief. People in the United States have faith in gambling. That's their faith. That's their belief. They believe that they can go and they can buy a gambling, a casino ticket, or they can buy a lottery ticket, and they'll spend $120 billion every year on gambling. That's a lot of money. That's more money than Warren Buffett and Bill Gates combined. It's a lot of money. People risk their life and livelihood because they have faith in things like drugs. They believe that drug is going to answer them because it appeases the problem for a moment. But they believe it. Why? Because they act on it. You and I will act on what we believe. Amen. How many have you ever seen somebody that was sick because they believed they were sick? How about it, nurses? Seen somebody that in their head they believed they were sick, and so therefore they are. I believe I can. It's kind of like the old little engine that the engine that could, you know. I think I can, I believe I can, I believe I can, I believe I can. People exhibit their faith by acting out those beliefs. James said it like this: you show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. The fact is that every person on the planet acts on what they believe. Acts on what they believe. Amen. Proverbs says in 23:7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. When it comes to prayer, when it comes to the connection between my prayer and God's answer, there's something called faith that connects that together, that puts what I believe with heaven's word. If I will believe what heaven's word says, he has promised me that if I ask in his name, he would hear me. Thank God for that. We have prayer time where people come forward because of what James wrote under the anointing of God. Is any among you suffering? Is any among you afflicted? Is any among you sick? Let him pray. You're not helpless. You may be powerless, but you are not helpless. Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith. Somebody say the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And he went so far as to say, if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Hallelujah. What a powerful partner faith is with prayer. Yes. I'm not just saying words, for there are those that have no faith in their prayer. They're just merely reciting words. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth wrote, I am not moved by what I see. I am not moved by what I feel. I am moved only by what I believe. All right. Hallelujah. I'm moved by what I believe. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is what saves souls. Sickness is healed by prayer. Relationships are restored by prayer. Spiritual bondage is broken by prayer. Questions are answered by prayer. Amen. It is the highest form of communication. It is the highest form of us connecting with heaven. But without faith, it is empty rhetoric. We've got to believe what we say. And say what we believe. Do we believe he's the healer? Then let's pray it and believe it. Yes. It's his job to do the work. Amen. It's his job to do the work. Amen. So I want to talk about faith and prayer. In the book of Mark, in Mark chapter 11, we find Jesus and his disciples were on their way to the temple. And they were headed to the house of God, headed to the place of worship, to the place of prayer. They were on their way, we would say, to church. And so along that way, now a lot of you don't have to drive very far, and a lot of you won't pass a 7-Eleven, but if you've ever passed a quick stop on your way to church and said, you know what, I need a little snack. Anybody ever? I'm guilty of that. I need a little drink, or I need a mint, or I need a little snack. Well, Jesus and his disciples are on their way to the church, on the way to church, and the Lord begins to look for a little snack. Mm-hmm. He gets looking for a snack on this journey about halfway from Bethany to Jerusalem. And we pick up the reading in Mark 11 and 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, looks good, looks healthy, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the times of fig was not yet. And Jesus answered and said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. This is really a weird state, what weird story. Jesus is hungry. He sees a fig tree that's got leaves. It's not time for figs. Yet he goes looking for figs. Can I tell you, the Lord has things for us that when it's not fig season, he's going to provide for us. When it is not the time for it to happen, or when the doctor says that shouldn't take place, yet Jesus says, I'll take the time out of season. I don't care what the doctor's report is. I can bring healing in the name of the Lord. In the middle of COVID, we had 3 people healed of cancer. It's not a good time. It's COVID. This got COVID, you know. It's really bad. Boy, didn't we wig out over COVID? It was an awful, terrible thing. But God shows us I can show up out of season if you'll pray. I'll show up out of season if you'll pray. And so he walks to that fig tree in a time when there should be no figs, yet he's expecting. Why? He's about to teach them a powerful lesson. He's about to tell them a powerful lesson. It's a fake fig tree. And then he says, you don't have figs on you? You're done. You will never bear fruit again. As long, you're done. He cursed the fig tree. Amen. So he heads to the temple from there, and the temple is packed with worshipers. People are busy with the administration of the house of God. They are doing ministry. They're going about doing things that looks good. There's a lot of activity. There's a lot of movement. Amen. And so Jesus, the Lord of the temple, the King of the temple, the God of the temple, walks into his house. And when he comes, he's looking for sweet communion. When he comes, he's looking for fig. He comes looking for fruit. And when he sees that they are engaged in activity, they look like they're having church. They look like they're worshiping. They look like they're carrying on. But they rather are engaged in temple merchandise than they are engaged in temple ministry. And so Jesus cleansed the temple, and he drives out those who bought and sold in the temple. And this is what he said, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. The object lesson begins at the fig tree. And he says, I'm going to look for fruit at my house. And when he gets, it looks healthy. It looks wonderful. They've got everything together. But beyond that, there is no fruit. There's no fruit there. There's no truth to that. There's no depth to that. I want to tell you, I don't want to just do church. I don't want to just do ministry. I don't want to just go through the motion and the routine. But oh, I want when he comes to see some figs on my tree. I want there to be some fruit of prayer. That's what he was looking for, some fruit of prayer. Amen. The missing fruit was prayer. Amen. The Lord come checking for worship, for prayer. And it was missing. And the Bible says in verse 20 of Mark 11, and in the morning as they pass by, they've left the tabernacle, they've left the temple. When they pass by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. If somebody didn't believe in Jesus after this, they're messed up. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. When they leave the temple, the fig tree which he had cursed, the fig tree that was not producing out of season, because it was symbolic of what prayer does. Prayer will take you out of season and into a move of God. Prayer will take you when it should not happen, and yet it does happen. Because when you put faith and prayer together, there's going to be figs, even when it's not time for figs. So he's showing a lesson. There's no fruit. They were cursed. Listen to what he said after Peter puts that in his mind, Master, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said to them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I want you to know, disciples, Jesus has said, I want you to know that you can speak to what doesn't have ears. You can talk to what cannot move and tell it to move. You can tell the fig tree that it's not time for it to produce. That's the power of prayer. I may be helpless, but we are, or we may be powerless, but we are not helpless. Have faith in God. Somebody say, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Do you have faith in God? Means the word have here means to possess, to hold on to have a view of, to regard of a certain opinion. Amen. To regard a certain opinion. Amen. I don't know what your prayer need may be right now, but have faith in God. I don't know what you're going through, but have faith in God. Amen. I think that we just do a lot of begging and crying and pity parties and how bad it is. And he said, have faith in God. Woo! Have faith in God. Amen. He can move mountains. Greek scholars have looked at this and translated the phrase have faith in God as have God's faith. Have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. For the Greek word here is possessive. Jesus used the object lesson of the fig tree to reveal the nature of the kind of faith that God wants us to have. The kind of faith God wants us to have. Jesus demonstrated that kind of faith in his own life. Luke chapter 8, verse 24, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they being afraid, wonder saying one to another, What manner of man is this For he commandeth the winds and water, and they obey him. Amen. And he asked, where is your faith? Jesus was looking for disciples that would operate in the kind of faith that he operated. And say to a storm that is brewing and raging, I tell you to be quiet. I declare you to be quiet. I declare... Folks, I know there's a lot of charlatans out there. I know there's a lot of quacks on YouTube and preachers and televangelists and all that kind of stuff, blowing and spitting on people just because they have counterfeit. Amen. Does not mean there is not real. There ought to be something inside of us that says, I want the God kind of faith. I'm tired of falling flat on my face and there being no figs on my tree. I am going to speak to the storm. I am going to talk to the storm. And I want to have the faith to say, peace be still. Peace be still. Telling the mountain to move, telling the fig tree to wither up, that's the God kind of faith. That's the faith that God wants us to be operating in. Amen. We have faith according to his will, according to his actions, according to his power, according to his truth, according to what he said he could do. Jesus demonstrated a faith unlike any other. For Revelations 14 tells us that we are to keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelations 14, 12. Amen. Also in Revelations, we find that Jesus told the church at Pergamon, he said, you haven't denied my faith. James says that we are to not hold faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. James 2, 1 and 2. Having faith of God, or God kind of faith, is having a God kind of faith that doesn't, that means what it says, that believes and speaks according to the word of God. Faith like Jesus is speaking truth in faith. It means speaking what God is speaking by faith. It draws a connection between what you are hearing and what God once said. Amen. In your prayer, God once said what he's speaking. If I know what he's speaking, then I know how to pray. Oh, praise be to God. Do you believe the Lord is a prayer answering God? Hallelujah, Lord. We love you today. We praise you today. I know people that are in this building tonight that are, I would call you fierce prayer warriors. Fierce. You pray in ways that I think angels look and say, whew, that's strong, that's bold. No, that's the Jesus kind of faith. That's the God kind of faith. Amen. Amen. Mountains and hills and valleys, amen, are everywhere. But the Lord said, you could say to that mountain, be thou removed. Figuratively, mountains can refer to authorities and governments and obstructions to the path of God's people. Isaiah prophesied in several places of hills and mountains being brought low. Anybody got a hill in front of you? You need God to bring low? He can do it. The Bible speaks about great mountains standing in the opposition of Zerubbabel and his purpose. Amen. Those mountains became, by God's word, a level plain. Paul tells of some who had the faith to move mountains in 1 Corinthians 13 and 2. Mountains of obstacles, mountains of difficulties, mountains of problems that I am powerless to do anything about, but I am not helpless to do anything about, because when prayer and faith partner, there's some mountain moving that can take place. Do you believe God? If you've seen God do anything, anytime, amen, then continue to believe him. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. Too often people speak to mountains and nothing happens. They shout at the mountain and nothing happens. They speak in tongues at the mountain, nothing happens. They throw cute Pentecostal phraseology at it, and nothing happens. Here's the key. Mark 11:24. Jesus went on to say, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, what ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Here's the message. Talk to God before you talk to mountains. I've taught you this before, but let me tell you it again. Amen. Talk to God before you talk to the mountain. Communication with God will lead to removal of mountain. But what you do and what we do when we talk to God, we realize, is this a mountain that should be moved or is it a mountain we should have avoided to begin with? You're off track. A lot of people pray for mountains to move and the Lord is saying, it's your fault. It's your consequence. You just need to change your GPS setting and go to another direction and go around that mountain that you shouldn't have been there in the first place. Because prayer is not about getting my way if I'm in the wrong place. Amen. Can I hear an amen today? Amen. Prayer, amen, doesn't get God to do what we want him to do. But prayer releases God to do what he has already purposed to do, already said he was, already said he would do. Oh, praise be to God. Amen. It's not about me motivating God to move. It's not about me begging that God would move the mountain. It's not about me pleading that God would move the mountain. The prayer is about finding the purpose of heaven and say, Lord, it is your will that this mountain be moved. So I say in your name and by your power, mountain be gone. Mountain be gone. Yeah. Praise be to God. Prayer. Prayer. And faith is the partner we need to see God move. Amen. One of my father's teachers and mentors, instructors in the gospel and the kingdom, was a man of great prayer. I've told you stories about him before. God did many mighty miracles in this man's ministry, healings beyond what you could imagine, incredible healings that God did through his ministry. One particular time, my dad was traveling with him, and this brother would get up very early in the morning to pray and seek the Lord. And so my dad, he was an early riser too, got up at 5:00 in the morning, and that brother's already gone to pray. Next morning, my dad set the alarm for 4:00. Got up at 4:00, and that man's already gone to pray. So he asked him, he said, Brother Hirhoser, first of all, when are you going? And secondly, where are you going? I can't find you. They were in a hotel. I said, where are you going? Oh, I have found the best place to pray. He said, in the morning you can go with me. So they got up before 4:00 in the morning and headed out to pray. Across the street was a cemetery, and that was his prayer room. He knelt on the tombstones. He said, nobody bothers you here. I guess not. But he would pray hours and then go to the church, and there would be people that were lame walk out of wheelchairs. There would be people that God would heal. But it wasn't that he just stepped in and it was for the show. It was the hours of prayer in talking to God. So when it came time to say to the mountain, be thou removed, he already knew whether that mountain was supposed to be removed or not and cast in the sea. It takes a relationship of faith and prayer to get things done. Amen. Let me show you from the Old Testament a powerful verse of scripture. Isaiah 45 and 11. Thus saith the Lord. That means thus saith the covenant keeper, the covenant maker, the God of relationship. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, which means that his holiness is above all others. There's none like in him. And then he said, the maker. He's the Lord. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's the maker, which means he's the source. He's our father. He's our creator. He's our sustainer. He has what you need. Woo! Hallelujah. Is there anything too hard for God? Oh, no, no, no. He says, then ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. First of all, there's a lot of people today that are trying to command the Lord, declare, proclaim, and they don't know who he is. They don't know him as Lord. They don't have a relationship in covenant with him. They don't know him in holiness. They don't know him in his power of being holy. They don't know him as maker. They don't understand him as being their only source. They're looking for some kind of slot machine that they can pull a lever and hit it big and get the jackpot with God. That's not how God operates. He said, I want a relationship with you. I want a holy relationship with you, and I will supply your need. Amen. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. Lord, you've made a covenant with your people. You are the one who initiates and sustains that relationship. You are holy above all others. There is none like you. You stand alone. Amen. You are my source. You are my supplier, you are my sustainer, and you're my shepherd. I shall not want. Folks, you got to talk to God. You got to tell him who he is. He knows who he is, but I want him to know that I know who he is. You're my Lord. I have a relationship with you. You are the Holy One of Israel. I see you above everything else. You are beyond all others. You are a cut above. You are holy. And then also, Lord, I know you're my maker. I know you're my need supplier. I know you're Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I know that you're my way maker. Woo. Then he says, ask of me. There's a lot of people that are asking, don't even know who he is. But he wants us to know him in relationship. Ask me of things to come concerning my children, concerning my sons. Ask me concerning my sons. Lord, what's up with your kids? What's your will with your children? I'm not here to strive with you, Lord. I'm here to ask you. I'm not here to complain about your kids. I'm here to ask you. I'm not here to worry and fret over your sons and your daughters. I'm here to ask you. Amen. Don't doubt about my sons, the Lord said. Ask me about it. Consult me about my purpose. Inquire about me and who I am. Seek my face, my will, my way. Amen. Ask of me. There is nothing, hear me tonight, there is nothing wrong with the child of God asking his heavenly Father concerning his life. Lord, what's up? Lord, what's going on? Lord, what way do I go? Lord, can you handle this? Lord, will you bring me through? Lord, will you overcome? Lord, will you supply? Lord, will you sustain me? Lord, will you heal me? Because you're the healer. Lord, would you be my advocate? Lord, would you be my intercessor? Would you be my helper? Oh God, what's up with me? I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I want to tell you, I want to remind you unequivocally, God has your best interest at his heart. He's not keeping anything from you. He knows what you need. He has your best interest at heart. Then he says, concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Boy, that's a powerful statement. But he doesn't say that first. He says, first, ask me about my kids. Anybody like talking about your children? Anybody like talking about your grandkids? Ask. I can remember when Whitney was born. I had the bright idea, Brother Joe. I don't know if you remember those wallet photo things that you could pull out. I got the biggest one I could find. Honest, that thing stood almost this high. It was probably 4 foot high. And I filled those all full of Whitney's baby picture. So when I'd go preach somewhere, they didn't have media and didn't have the, anyway, I'd take that and I said, would you like to see my daughter? Can I just tell you, the Lord loves us so much. I know you feel like that you are unworthy. I know you feel like you shouldn't belong. But I want to tell you, he said, have you seen my kids? Can I tell you about my kids? I got a plan for my children. I'm a bride for my kids. If an earthly father knows how to give good gifts to his children, how much more does your heavenly father know how to give you the Holy Ghost when you need it? Oh, amen. Thank God. Amen. But then he says, concerning the work of my hands, command you me. And there's a lot of people that, you know, this is a highly disputed verse of Scripture, what it means. And those that look at what we read as hyperbole in the beginning tend to see this in a way that that's really not what he's saying. That's what he said. When you begin to study, that command you mean means appoint me over the works of my hands. That word means appoint me. Decree me. Over the works of my hands, charge me to do what I purpose for my children. If he has your best interest at heart, would it not be wise to pray, what you have for me, I want. And you said you were the healer, so I want healing. Or, Lord, you're the provider, Lord, and I believe that you are able to supply my every need. Yeah. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I appoint you over my finance. Oh, thank you, Lord. I appoint you over my trouble, my issues, my problems. I command you, Lord, to be over my problems. Hallelujah. Why? Because he said, I'm going to take care of my kids. Just talk to me about my children. Hallelujah. If he came and loved the world so much, amen, that he gave his only begotten son for the saving of a world that many would not accept him, how much more does he love those that have been born again? Again, of water and of spirit that bear his name, that carries his blood flowing through their veins. Oh, praise be to God. I can say, I appoint you. I want you to know your head over what I need. Oh, I would that somebody would do that right now. I appoint you healer. I appoint you deliverer. I appoint you provider. I appoint you peace. I appoint you my hope. You're my joy. You're my victory. You're my sustainer. I'm helpless, but I am not hopeless. Amen. Then he says, you desire the things soever you desire. Now be careful. That doesn't mean I can just punch anything that I want. Oh, bless God, he wants me to have a brand new Rolls Royce. Number one, I'd look like an idiot driving a Rolls Royce in Jackson County. I wouldn't mind trying, but you know. But that's the way we have it today. We have the prosperity gospel that says, name it, grab it, blab it, shoot it out there, you'll get what you want. Praise be God. Let's break this down. The word desire in the Greek means make a request. Doesn't mean my emotion. Doesn't mean what I want. He said, whatever you make a request of, when you pray, believe, there's that faith, that you receive them and you shall have them. Oh, praise be to God. The psalmist put it like this in 89 and 11. For the Lord God is sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So I can say, according to that scripture, you said that you wouldn't hold any good thing from me, Lord, so I'm putting you over that. I want you to know you're Lord over that. I command you over that. I am declaring you over that in the name of Jesus. Was it not the psalmist that said in 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Oh, praise be to God. I'm so glad for the prayers that he has answered, but I thank him for the ones that he has provided above what I didn't even ask, beyond what I didn't even ask. Oh, thank God. Thank God today. Oh, man. James said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What does that mean? Talk to God. Somebody say, talk to God. Then talk to your problem. Talk to God. Then talk to your problem. Talk to God. Then run the devil out. Hallelujah. Don't mess with Satan without talking to God first. Talk to the Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have the same spirit of faith. We have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believe. According as it is written, I believe. Hallelujah. And therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So when I speak, Lord, let me speak what I believe. Let me know what I believe. Let me understand what I believe. But let me say it. Amen. Say it. Yes. Time to put the devil on the run. It's time to go to war in your own house. Mm-hmm. Right. I saw something today on Facebook is that we're so enthralled with raising audiences. God wants us to raise an army. God wants us to raise an army. Amen. That will go forward and speak what we believe. Matthew 12:34. O generation of vipers, how can you be an evil? Speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasures, bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Why? For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. It matters what comes out of this mouth. Amen. I don't want to stand before heaven and hear the Lord say, if you just prayed a little bit with understanding and faith, you could have had this. So, Lord, let me boldly begin to pray. Yes, let me boldly, because by my word, if I'm going to be condemned, then let me go down swinging big. Amen. If I'm going to be justified, let me swing big. Swing big. Let your faith swing big. Now, there are some things that will activate your mountain being moved. There are some things that Jesus said. You know, he goes right from this desire of the heart business to this. Verse 25, Mark 11. And when you stand praying, ouch. And when you stand praying, what does it say?
Forgive.
Oh, let's go back to that speaking that mountain stuff. Let's go back talking in faith. Let's go back to, no. He's telling us how that there are some actions that will make a difference. When you pray, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Can I paraphrase this from Tim Gill's version? You won't hold me too much on this, will you? If you don't forgive, don't expect the mountain to be moved. If you don't forgive, don't expect God to step in. He is looking for the agent of faith that says, I want that mountain so bad to be moved, I let it go. I forgive. I forgive that rascal that that cheated me out of $25.17. I forgive them, oh Lord. I want the mountain to be moved greater than I want to hold a fence, greater than I want to hold worry. Amen. Forgiveness is not about the person that did you wrong. It is about you being free to speak to your mountain. It's about you being free to say, that does not have a hold on me. Yes, but they treated me bad. It's that, no, I want that mountain to be moved. Again, Jesus said, when you pray, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, Hebrews 11:1 says, for faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the world is framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. You see differently when you pray in faith. When you pray in faith, you pray in a crazy way. You pray in a crazy way. God can answer prayer. God can answer prayer. Last night in the prayer meeting at Shiloh, I walked over to a brother that he had told me how sick he had been for a long time. And I walked over and I just prayed, Lord, heal his body. He texted me today. He said, I woke up better than I have felt in a long time. Let's pray boldly, but let's pray in faith. I believe God can do it. Why waste our time? Why waste God's? If he can't do it, if he won't do it, then let's go on. Amen. But he said he would. Yes. True faith in God, the true God kind of faith, is not based on visible physical evidence, but it's based on his word. I like what Andrew Murray said when he said, faith is the spiritual faculty of the soul which deals with the spiritual realities of the future and the unseen. Have faith in God. Amen. Have faith in God. Pray. Pray. Faith, when you put it together with prayer and with obedience, can move mountains. Yes, sir. Stand with me, please. Thank you, Lord. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. When's the last time you prayed a crazy prayer, but you knew God wanted you to pray it? When's the last time you just said, okay, you want me to believe for that? I'm going to believe for that. Somehow, some way, I trust you, Lord. I trust you're going to bring me, Lord, you're going to move that mountain one way or another. Yeah. Have faith in God. Right now, would you just lift up your heart where you are here at MPC? Amen. Let's commit ourselves to be prayer warriors of faith. Let's wield and weld faith with our prayer to believe that God can do. Lord, anything, there's nothing too hard for you. There is nothing too hard for you. Lord, we have had miracle after miracle in the 110 years of this church. We have seen so many miracles. Those that should have died that lived. Lord, those, oh God, that have suffered many things and you brought them out and brought them through. Lord, those that were so lost in sin, God, but you've saved them. You filled them with your spirit. Oh, what a great miracle. I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. Can you believe tonight that God's got your best interest at heart? God understands who you are. Ask about my children. He's a wonderful father. He's a need supplier. Lord, we praise you today. Lord, we praise you today. I want to ask you, do you have a big need in your life right now? Has anybody got a really big need right now? You need God to step in. Can I see your hand? Raise your hand. You got a really big need. You need the Lord to supply. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, right now in your name, it doesn't matter what these needs are. It doesn't matter if it is physical, financial, spiritual. Lord, you have their best interest at heart. Lord, you supply the need. You bring them, Lord, to the place of God of provision. You bring them to a place, Lord, of healing and blessing. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, for I know you will be with them. I know that you will sustain them. I know that you will give hope, Lord, even in crisis. And we praise your name that you are a prayer-answering God. Help us today. Seek your face. Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. I want to go to the Lord in prayer with special need. Our neighbor right to the south side of the house there is in the hospital. And they say that he has throat cancer. At least that's the symptoms. They're supposed to have the biopsy finished. And his name is Craig. I want us to pray for Craig right now. Craig needs God more than he needs healing. And will you lift up Craig's name with the pastor just for a minute? Heavenly Father, we just talked about prayer. Lord, we just talked about faith. Lord, I pray, God, that you would raise him up to salvation. It's not your will that any should perish, oh God, but raise him up to regeneration. Raise him up, oh God, to help and hope and health, Lord. Lord, you can touch his body. But Lord, his soul needs to be touched. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help me, Lord Jesus. God, would you move in his heart? Would you move in his mind? Go to that hospital room, Lord Jesus. Right now in Methodist, God, you're able to touch his body. Lord, you're able to touch his body. Oh, God, you could move, Lord Jesus. Have mercy. Have mercy, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the MPC podcast. We trust that today's message has inspired you, encouraged you, and strengthened you in the Lord. We would like to invite you to join us again by simply subscribing to our podcast, and we encourage you to write a review if it has been a blessing to you. Again, you can find us at medorachurch.com to learn more about our ministry.